Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Stick around to the end of today's episode to hear the trailer of Between the Lines, The Athletic's newest narrative podcast documenting the intersection of race and football, coming to The Athletic Football Show feed on February 14th.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some
Zach, for the fourth time in franchise history, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
Eagles Chiefs are ripe with storylines. Two best teams in the
Prince
NFL.
Prince Tegu-Winogo revenge game.
There's so many factors in place for Bo to make the media enemy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to day two of Superb Owl Week on Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. And on a week in which the storylines are very much about amicable exes coming up against each other, Andy Reid going up against the Eagles, we have to start the show today by bringing on another amicable ex, another divorced couple on good terms.
Great terms.
Zach Berman and Jeff McClain of The Inquirer. Jeff, making your Birds with Friends debut. How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. I've been waiting for this moment for so long.
You've been bugging us. You've been, hey, when am I going to get on?
I know. So, well, ever since Zach left me, it's been my dream to destroy your podcast.
How would you say that your life has changed in a post-Zach world?
All right, I don't want to hurt any feelings here. Certainly not Zach's. Zach and I made a good team.
Yeah. Yes.
As you both do as well. I mean, like, we were kind of a couple for a long time.
7 years.
Yeah, and almost like a married couple, as our wives would know how much, you know, I'm sure you guys, when you have a beat partner, you spend a lot of time with them and talking to them and texting with them. So that was definitely an adjustment. I haven't found that quite yet.
Okay. Well, you've got more wives to juggle, more work wives to juggle now than you did then.
Well, we had that a little bit of that.
That's true.
Yeah. I'll sing his praises for a moment. And I mean this because our audience, presumably, is full of Eagles fans, right, who know Jeff's work. It's been 13 years on the beat. 14 years. Yeah. Like, there is a reason why he breaks so many stories and writes so many good stories, right? Like, I saw it firsthand for 7 years. It's not by accident.
Tell the Emily story. What happens when you wake up in the middle of the night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will literally be up at 4 a.m. It's actually, their stories come out exactly at 5, right? Mm. So it's typically, if it's like 5:15 and she sees me on my phone and she'll say, "What did Jeff write?" Right? Because, like, that's the type of thing that I'm doing. And Jeff can tell you, I'll text him at like 5:30. Great story.
Yeah, wake up my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here, that says more about Zach than I think it does my work.
No, it's
come on. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true. But, yeah, I mean, it's deserved plaudits for Jeff.
No, I mean, obviously, Zach does phenomenal work, and I have the same, you know, feelings. I think we all do when you see someone has a story and you're like, a little pit in
your
stomach.
We can say that the one story this season that made everybody on the beat feel that way. Yeah. And I know Zach is gonna feel
my Josh Job story.
My Josh Job story. Yeah. The Dom story. Everybody's wanted to do the Dom story. You made it happen. It was great reporting. Good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was You know, that was a what's the phrase I'm looking for?
Decade in the making.
It was a long time in the making. Yeah. I don't know if I can reveal a lot of how it came to be, but because Dom's not on record in the story, so that's always a tough story to write, as you guys know, when you don't have the subject as.
I don't know if Zach was jealous of the story as much as he was jealous that you talked to Chip.
That's honestly, I'm pretty sure about that.
No, I'm jealous of the story, but it'd be nice to catch up with Chip. Chip's a smart man. I enjoy talking to smart people.
It was remarkable. I mean, it was. I still have a little leftover stuff I'm going to use this week, actually.
Now I'm going to use that to needle him.
Yeah.
It's 3 a.m. here, by the way, when their stories come out.
It's
so,
nothing great. But, that in its own right was interesting because, I mean, I'm under no illusions that Chip Kelly didn't talk to me because it was me.
Right.
It was because he loves Dom and he wanted to talk about Dom. Chip and I weren't on the best of terms by the end of the tenure. His tenure, as you guys can... I mean, I don't think, and many of us were on great terms with Chip by the end. But
I wasn't even here at the end. But
you weren't on that. You weren't on the beat then.
No.
Chip drove him off the.
He got me out of the building. Yeah.
So you didn't go to the equipment room with Howie?
No, I did not.
No. Okay. But it was he talked to me like we were a long lost buddies.
That's nice.
It was shocking. It was shocking. Asking me how I was doing and you know what's up and newspaper business, and he asked about Zach. No, he actually didn't.
No, he's got a restraining order. So,
but yeah, I think I've heard
that's,
that about
that's a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, I've heard that about Chip to some. I've heard about that Chip. You know, like we went through the wars together, and you know now that we're through it, and I'm not covering him.
Right.
It's okay. I mean, at one point we did kind of like have like a come to Jesus kind of like hash it out. And I don't think I apologized. Maybe I did. And I kind of, but I mean, I didn't apologize. I just said that I've become a better reporter covering you. And I learned maybe my faults and my strengths from that, especially after you left. And he's like, I enjoyed it. I loved sparring with you. Mm. And I was like, I never got that impression when you were... trying to eviscerate me, especially a couple times off the podium when you things didn't go so well.
Well, that's all right. That means you're getting under his skin.
Yeah, it's my job.
That's your job,
yeah,
right?
I mean, like, honestly, I don't think I got under his skin as much as Zach.
You think I got under Chip's skin?
I think just the, your constant,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I ask as many questions as you.
No, that... especially
back in the day. Yeah.
Well, because this is the thing, and I don't say this like us pumping our chests out, but there were fewer reporters who asked questions to Chip because I think people were afraid sometimes of Chip coming down on you. And like Nick's really nice, and Nick gives like 6-minute answers sometimes, so no one's afraid to ask Nick a question. It was a concentrated group of people who asked Chip. You can always get questions off the Chip, and his answers would be. Being in a snap, so
and you've got you come prepared with like your list of 25.
Oh yeah, yes, so, yeah. There was never an awkward pause during a Chip Kelly press conference.
No, and because he wouldn't allow it either. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be gone.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So I mean, don't get me wrong. Chip was great to cover. I mean, he was so quotable, number one on the podium. But there was just always something interesting that he had going on. Whatever he's bringing in the sports science or the way he's practicing the up tempo. He's just so controversial. Everything as we sensed at one point. I mean. My biggest regret, for I'm not going to shift totally here, is like Zach and I had that Howie Chip divorce story down pat.
Giving away the secrets here, yeah, yeah.
We had that, and you're a little more conservative than me. I was ready. I was ready. Are we allowed to curse on this thing?
Yeah.
I was ready.
Zach curses all the time.
I was ready to write that fucker. No, he was probably right too. I mean, we had a lot of sources.
So who ended up breaking it?
Well, no, it ended up happening.
Oh, they just...
right? Like, yeah, the
no, chip. we had that there was a discord between the GM and the head coach. Yeah. What do you mean we didn't end, it didn't end up having?
The no. Yeah, it like ended up happening before that type of story materialized.
They just
right?
announced they just, the changes before.
Yeah, Howie got Howie on January 2nd.
Yeah, it was
that
a
year.
Press release. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah but we but when I asked Chip after the season about Howie, because I knew I wanted to get it out of him, and that's when he called him good at the salary cap.
Yep. Yeah, and right. he kept calling Tom Gamble,
football guy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now, there was a nice moment during Nick Sirianni's press conference today, which I think we can hear later in the show, where Zach was talking to Nick about that first meeting with the Eagles, and Nick said, well, it's like your first date with your wife. It went pretty well. And Zach said, well, you know, my first date did not go well. And you've told that story in the podcast before, but you were with him at the time. What do you remember about Zach meeting Emily while you guys were working together?
We
at
had
the beginning
this great
of their...
guest. We don't need to get into that.
Yeah, wait,
so I was with you?
Well, no, I mean, we were
together.
The beat,
yeah.
Oh, no, and honestly, I think I remember him telling me how badly the date went. And
well, no, she, yeah, we don't have to go through it. I mean,
I don't go through because you've told before.
Yeah.
But no, Zach was, you know, kind of a ladies' man at that point, too. And like I knew single Zach.
Yeah,
it was quite. An
I appreciate the compliment. Yes,
it's funny. Okay, all right, fine. What do you think about this matchup? How are you leaning?
Oh, okay, Super we're shifting into football. All right.
I mean, Zach is very clearly uncomfortable with the.
No, I think we have no
Zach Quixote.
I mean, seriously, we have Jeff McClain, who's covered this team for 14 years, who is like loaded with good stories, good institutional knowledge.
But
we don't
our
talk
audience
about
is more
life.
Interested in the fact that he has known you for 14 years.
Well, we're close. I mean, I became a better reporter working with Jeff, right? So a lot of it was me trying to learn different things from him. Like we were really good about sharing information. I frankly miss because he has a lot of good information. But it was
Wolf taken astray.
Oh no. I don't mean it like that. I mean it's always better to find out something via text as opposed to Inquirer.com, right? It was a good partnership, but I have a great partnership here. And
Look, I didn't come on here. Honestly, the only reason why I came on this was because, like, I just wanted to, like, have something on The Athletic where I just get these glowing comments just straight down. That's the only reason I'm on. And Zach's doing it for everyone. But, like, you know, it's like Zach went from the Inquirer.com where everyone hated him to all of a sudden I look at read his comments on a story and it's like he's the
What's
second
funny about
coming.
That is there is one Athletic commenter who, for whatever reason, will always just throw a shot at the Inquirer. And I don't know why. He'll be like, this is a great story that they would never write at the Inquirer. Like, why would you say that? They write all kinds of good
Sounds
stories.
Like a subscriber, though. That's all I care about is someone subscribing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but let me just chime in. I mean, like, with Zach, I mean, like, I'm not just saying it was all me. Like, Zach was, honestly, like I mentioned briefly, I didn't want to disparage anybody else, but, like, Zach was my best partner because, like, we complimented each other. Very much, especially like we just recalling before we came on here about coming here to Arizona. We knew who did what, versus the other person's strengths and weaknesses. And yeah, we shared like the thing I miss most about working with Zach is that like I could bounce off of him all the time. And he would always give me the right answer, pretty much for the most part. It was very, very helpful to me.
It's very sweet.
It was very helpful to me. It's about me, obviously. I needed Zach to help me, but like it was just like I could tell him the deepest, darkest secrets of the Eagles that I knew, and I knew it would never, ever be told. And there was other people that I've worked with, and all of a sudden I'd tell them something, and all of a sudden they're asking it at the press conference. Yeah. I'm like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah.
It's in a vault for whenever I tell Zach it.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, okay, we'll get over this. I mean, Zach already gets enough love on
The Athletic. You're going to need to rewatch this on YouTube and see the look in Zach's eyes as you say those things and how lovingly he's looking at you.
He gets enough of the love.
I mean, do you want to talk about the matchup?
Yeah, sure.
Well, how do you feel about this? I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It sort of feels like a thought experiment come to life of the best roster in football against the best quarterback in football and what matters more. How are you sort of leaning as as the week goes on here.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked a little bit about this on the bus. Maybe we should have saved it a little bit. That's but okay.
You can repeat it?
I think I can repeat some of it. So my concerns with the Eagles, I have concerns with the Chiefs, certainly. But I'm going to focus on the Eagles because this is an Eagles podcast. Is that they haven't they haven't played a team of this caliber. They haven't played a quarterback of this caliber this year. And they haven't been tested enough in the postseason. That's not their fault. They were so good. They killed the Giants, and they knocked out the quarterbacks and the 49ers. And I think they were eventually going to win that game anyway. So those would be my concerns. And I don't think I'm much as concerned about Nick and the coach and staff not being here and Andy having won a Super Bowl. We've seen Andy struggle in big spots before.
Sure.
I'm sure he can do it again. So those like big picture, that's kind of my concern with the Eagles. And obviously with Hurts just hasn't been the same since the injury. So is it going to come to a point where he's got to win it with his arm and you're questioning whether he's completely at full strength and he's going up against the best arm in the NFL, not just the arm, everything else that he encompasses, Patrick Mahomes. So those would be my concerns. But then I look at like just the depth of this team, especially on both sides of the line. And it's such a cliche, but they're stronger in both areas, right? So that should be enough for them to win.
Theoretically,
but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. There are certain matchups that favor the Chiefs that have tilted even more so to Kansas City. That could turn the flip the scales towards Kansas City. I don't know. Do you guys are big on possessions? How many possessions will favor who?
No.
Okay.
I think both teams are going to score, and it's just it's going to come down to can they make a big stop? Can they take advantage of when they get a chance to force a turnover?
It's kind of like
the ball bounce their way.
It's kind of like the last Eagles Super Bowl,
right?
Yeah.
Very nice. That's like you feel like you have less to say this episode. Like it's like you're nervous around.
No, Jeff. I have questions.
Okay, ask the question. Go ahead.
Okay, all right, what we got?
I'm curious too. You know Andy well. You covered 4 years of Andy.
Yeah.
I'm sure you still know him well. Do you think that the Super Bowl that he won faded, the Andy Eagle storyline, or do you think that's still relevant to Andy?
I don't give two way because I'm writing an Andy story at the
end. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
We're not writing an Andy story, so don't worry about it.
No, because you want to I think there's probably – yeah, he wants to kill the Eagles, but he wants to kill whoever he's playing.
Yeah.
But he wants to maybe like if they've killed the Eagles, then maybe stomp on them a few more times. Because I don't think there's bitterness. Everyone, both teams, both sides went on to win championships and stuff like that.
Yep.
I don't think it was all hunky-dory. It certainly wasn't hunky-dory at the end.
Hail to the Eagles, baby.
What's that?
Hail to the Eagles, baby.
He was in the cafeteria when Andy said, Hail to the Eagles, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How awkward was that?
Very, very awkward. One of the more awkward experiences of my life, I'd say.
Well, I want to hear a little more about that. Have you talked about that here before?
I talked about it on the podcast yesterday. Yeah, I mean, it was so weird. They fired him, and they brought him, like, Jeffrey brings him into the cafeteria. Everybody in the organization is there, and Andy's got to, like, say something, and he doesn't want to say anything. He just got fired.
He holds up
the ball, after all these years of service, they give him, like, a game ball. Like, here you go, Andy. And they just says, hail to the Eagles, baby, which, hail to the Eagles, baby. What does that mean? No one's ever said that before.
He's preparing for the Chiefs, right? Yeah.
Even media that retires from covering the Eagles
gets a game ball. Thank you.
Yeah, even, like, the lowest of the low in terms of how the Eagles are concerned gets that football. So he must have wanted to swing that. I wonder, like, I should have asked him about it on the podium. Be like, what were your really feelings there? You were pissed that they made you do that.
My other very clear recollection of that week was Andy got hired very quickly by the Chiefs.
Yeah, I would probably say Clark Hunt and Mark Donovan were probably on the tarmac when that thing was going on.
It was several days. And the introductory press conference that Andy Reid had was, in my mind, worse than Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference because the angle that they had on, they chose to shoot the press conference. Andy was sitting on a stage in a chair, legs spread open, and they had a shot that was just right in the middle, and it left nothing.
Can I? Nothing to the imagination.
Can I tell you a couple stories?
Jeff was out there, by the way.
I was there.
Yeah, and you got snowed in. You got snowed in, right?
So, well, no, yeah. So let me tell you my stories about that. So, like, you know, I'm trying to follow that story. We're finally trying to follow the Eagles story, and because you were flying out to Arizona.
I was here for the Fiesta Bowl.
Right, you were flying to Arizona, and I was going to chase Andy.
Yep.
I rushed to the airport. I get on the cheapest, craziest flight I've ever been. I don't even know what airline it was to this day. I get there, I land, I text Ted Cruz, the PR guy for the Chiefs. I'm like, because I thought the press, it was Friday. Right. He's like, no, we're not doing the press conference till Monday. I'm like,
yeah, that's what?
What it is. So it snows in Kansas City. You know, I was in my hotel room the whole entire weekend, and I'm texting Andy constantly, please meet me so I can do the story before and I can get the hell out of here. And but meanwhile, I'm trying to report on the chip stuff. He went out there, and I got the nothing happened. He wasn't gonna.
Well, no, he backed out.
He backed out, right? So I wrote that story too, and then the Andy thing happened. So I end up going to a coffee shop, and I write a story about how, like, chasing Andy my entire career. Mm. Here he is, this dickhead. He wouldn't even take the time to come meet me at the plaza.
Right.
You know, he hates Philadelphia, whatever. And I kind of like. And I pictured the one where I was like, we had a picture our photographer took one time of Andy walking at Lehigh to the press conference tent. And in the background, there's me leaping over a fence.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so I put it in the story, whatever. So I wrote the story. I get to the press conference the next morning, Monday morning. I go there. I end up getting like 20 minutes alone with Andy. It was unbelievable. He told me a couple things, but off the record. But anyway, I didn't really notice Andy's crotch. Because in front of me was Bob Lamont's rug.
Oh, and didn't you guys have a moment?
And I took a picture of it, and I said, Bob, and I put it on Twitter. So I regret it to this day. I deleted it, I think, at one point. I said, there's Bob Lamont and his rug, or something like that.
Bob was cracking up.
The most powerful coach agent in the NFL. And I just totally destroyed any relationship I ever had. But so I do remember the crotch shot, though.
Mm. Yeah, Zach, any thoughts on the crotch?
No thoughts on that, no.
I also remember from that, we were, that second week I was at the Shrine game, and before the chip stuff had broke, who were they?
Gus Bradley.
Gus Bradley.
Yeah.
We did a pre-recorded video from the beach, just in case the Eagles were going to sign Gus Bradley.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, the Eagles have hired Gus Bradley as their head coach, you know, just to have this in the can. When it goes on, and I think it was Adam Kaplan happened to be outside, and he heard that thing, and he tweeted, like, I guess everybody already knows the Eagles have hired Gus Bradley. and we're like, Adam, that wasn't real. I had to delete it.
Or did he say, well, as I said last week.
I don't remember. I don't remember the exact tweet. Fran Duffy would have the full story.
Yeah, as I pointed out weeks beforehand, the Eagles were going to hire.
Let me ask you one serious question. I think you're like a, I think you are like a PhD in Howie Roseman studies. what do you think happens next? The next stage of the roster and Howie's like power in the building and the sort of narrative around him. You wrote a good story this week.
Can I link my story?
You wrote a good story
here
this week. Yeah. Please read the story.
Car.com. Yeah. Car.com. Subscribe under my name so I get the full credit for the subscription. Really in depth, deep dive. You guys may have heard that term before, or a deep dig, or a
deep dive. Yeah,
that's good because I've heard. Or a long I didn't know read. You guys were allowed to write those anymore.
1,000 word limits. Well, on the live blog, you can go deep for 140 characters.
What does that mean? Oh, I see.
That's the length that they.
That wasn't a funny joke. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Howie, next stage. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, and I know Zach's probably working on it. He keeps asking these questions about building versus maintenance.
True.
And it's tough. It's tough when everybody's in there, like, asking the question.
I got a line in the story about it, because I wanted to make sure Zach didn't have this alone. No, but it is, you know, like, it's, right, this is the third team that he's rebuilt. One went to the playoffs. The second one went to the one. To the Super Bowl and won it. Now the third one's gone to the Super Bowl. And you look at the team, obviously there's 20 free agents, 7 starters on defense, and Jalen Hurts is going to need a contract extension. And can Howie do that? Is he going to fall in love again with guys that he's drafted and he can't make difficult decisions to cut them? Is he going to all of a sudden try and bring back DeSean Jackson and sign Michael Bennett, culture wrecker? Is he going to do crazy stuff like that again? I think he's learned from his mistakes. But again, it's just there's so many things that can go wrong when you're a GM, and there's so many things outside your control. Howie's done a phenomenal job. It's hard, really, to not give him the credit he deserves.
How about the head coach GM relationship? You think that stays
Unky Dory? Surprisingly, and he talked about this as well. Like, they complement each other, and they actually have kind of some similarities, which I never would have thought when they first hired Nick Sirianni.
How so?
Nick is very much gracious and gregarious and amiable, and Howie's not.
But you said they complement each other.
Because they have these other things in common.
Well, it was interesting how he said this, right?
That I'm talking about, like, that
first summer, like, he was sort of taken aback. Like, Nick kept being like, hey, let's get together. Like, let's get the families together. Let's, you know.
And he's like, and how he was like, creepy, oh, like,
I
don't, out.
Yeah. Because, I think our impression at the time when they hired Nick Sirianni, right, was Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman have sort of found a patsy to some degree, right? That was sort of the impression from the outside looking in. Some guy that they can tell how to coach the team, and he'll follow the direction. And I think, like, Nick won him over, and they have this. And I think you're right; they have these things in common that have led to a pretty good.
I think if they
go 6-11 next year, the relationship gets strained. Obviously, right? That's what happens in anything.
I think it's more textured, though, in that there are a few things there. First off, I think they're both like crazy competitive.
Yes.
Right, and they both wear a chip on their shoulder well. Right, and I think that's something that they have in common. And then the other thing is like Nick. From all indications I get, just wants to coach the team, right? Like Nick doesn't want to be, you ask him sometimes about like some roster mechanical stuff, and he's like, yeah, Howie, that's Howie's job, right? So
and when Howie does this good of a job, building the roster, he has no need to want to like change how things are done, right? Like,
right,
if you're gonna get me these guys, that's fine.
But like Nick's, and you had a real good Nick story today, One of Nick's superpowers, if you will, is his ability to get along with people, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's a likable person, and I think that's important in the coach GM dynamic. There is like Nick's not trying to take Howie's job, right?
I also think that Howie, when they gave Nick the one guy that he could pick, he hit on it versus Doug, who totally screwed up Chase Daniel versus Zach Pascal. Right? I mean, Zach Pascal was clearly like how he's like, okay,
right.
You can have that one.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
And Zach's been a great
role
player.
Yeah.
Chase Daniel.
You know what's funny? Because Jeffrey Lurie last night spoke at Media Day, and he was like, you know, one of the decisions that we made that I thought was really pivotal that we don't get enough credit for is I had a conversation with Howie. You know, we had signed Chase Daniel to this deal. And we thought, if something happens, is he good enough to win us, you know, a playoff game, win us a Super Bowl? Is he good enough to elevate his game for an extended period of time? And we both said no. And so we had to eat some money to go out and sign a backup quarterback who we thought did have that upside, you know, who had that ability to elevate his game. And that was Nick Foles.
Yeah,
and he won us a Super Bowl. It was just like, you know, Jeffrey, he's got these little pivotal moments, and one of them is just throwing Chase Daniel over the edge.
And Doug Peterson.
I think there's context there, too.
He was right. I mean.
No, but this predates me. But, there was a perception among some fans that the Eagles might have been I don't want to use the word cheap, but like that they weren't, that they were very careful with contracts and things of that nature. And the Eagles, I know Jeffrey does, takes like pride in their cash spending, like on players.
It really makes a huge difference. I mean, that is true.
And there are owners in this league who would not say you can cut your backup quarterback who you just gave all this guaranteed money to sign another backup quarterback who's not going to, you know, there are teams in this league who don't eat contracts like that and will keep a player on just for the sake of it.
No doubt.
That's one of the biggest falsehoods with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because Joe Banner represented us. I thought in some ways there was always like an anti-Semitic undertone when people were calling Joe. And Jeffrey too, obviously. And it'd be like, no, everybody I talked to, like I came into the beat thinking something, not because of, none of the beat reporters felt like that or the coverage felt like that, but like you just didn't know. I didn't know about the cap. I didn't know anything about the stuff. And then you talk to people around the league, they're like, no, Jeff pays assistants way more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Jeff burns money like you would not believe.
Yeah.
He's looking for any, you can't believe the amount of money that they waste. And some of it is actually frivolous. Like, you know, I've heard so many, I haven't been able to report some of the stuff. I don't think people even really care. Maybe they do. And now all of a sudden they're going to be wondering what the heck it is. But like, I've heard some ridiculous people that they've hired, as consultants and this, that, or the other thing that have like, you know, such ancillary roles to what you'd think. And Jeff doesn't care. And to his credit, to some extent, now,
definitely,
you know, Don Smolinski's probably like, you know, like, oh, we're only going to have one open practice now because of that.
Right. All right.
I have one last question, too, and this kind of wraps it up here.
Wow, did we go long? No.
Longer than we said we were going to keep you.
How have you seen the organization change, evolve from the time you got on the beat 14 years ago to now?
Oh, wow, that's a big picture question. The organization, how it's changed. Jeffrey's still there and in charge. I think Jeffrey's role is still pretty much the same, but I think he definitely has more involved because I think Andy held him at bay. He was always an involved, asking questions type of owner, but I think that he definitely has more of a say into things. Joe Banner's no longer there. You know, Joe, certainly there was like a, I don't think to some degree he helped the perception of the team. Fair or not, the way people looked at the Eagles, you know, I don't think Howie's the greatest kind of like face of the organization, but he's a pretty good one, and he's obviously done remarkable things, and now we're seeing this team on the brink of two Super Bowls within 5 years, and they didn't quite achieve that when I was on the beat. So like that, maybe that's, is that what you're looking for? I'm trying to think. I'm just trying.
I was trying to. Use your institutional knowledge for the audience.
I think they become a better franchise. I think this is, you know, the question obviously we had earlier is it sustainable? A lot of us going to depend upon Howie, of course, but a lot of us also going to depend upon Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts that quarterback can every year give you a chance at winning the championship? I don't really think we have the answer to that yet. I think he certainly has the ability to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm sort of like out of the predicting what Jalen Hurts is going to look like business at this point.
Just, I got to say, I was a big Hurts guy.
Oh, please. I was a big Hurts guy. Get out of here. I said in the summer. He'd made the leap. But, I mean, we can have
I liked him last year.
I liked him last year, too.
Yeah, okay. I'm not saying you did. I didn't know that you...
No, I'm not. We don't need to compete
him.
Over who's
Zach.
Hurts,
Zach was the one who was kind of...
Yeah, Zach gave him a D-plus on draft night.
What'd you give him?
None of your business.
What'd you give him? What'd you give him?
I gave the process a D. No. Nothing against Jalen.
No, I've been sold on Jalen's personality.
Yeah,
like, since they since they drafted him, right? And
you know what? The very first throw he ever made as an Eagle, beautiful pass down the right sideline to Quez Watkins, the first day of training camp practice.
Oh, I thought beautiful. You meant the one in the Green Bay game when he hit Jalen.
That was a good one too. Yeah. I was watching on TV. I wasn't there. You were,
yeah. I was.
You were the only one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I wasn't there either.
We should take a break. Jeff McClain, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Slumming it with your ex. Read Jeff at The Inquirer. Follow him on Twitter. All that good stuff. We'll be back with the second half of Birds with Friends.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back on Birds with Friends. Bo and Zach. Zach, why don't we start by throwing it to the moment of the press conference with Nick Sirianni today when you slayed the crowd as a fan of comedy. He got a big raucous applause.
Last one, folks. What made you think it was going well?
In my job interview in Florida? That they wanted to keep talking to me, I guess. I don't know. That the interview went for about 8 hours, and they asked me to come back the next day. I guess I thought that was a good sign. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what your first date with your wife. Did you think that was going well? How did you think it was going? It did not go well. I don't know. You just have a feeling that it's going well. Okay, I guess mine did with my wife.
Big flex out of Nick. He had a better first date with his wife.
Yeah, no, I mean, my wife is amazing, but my first date was not as successful as my second first date, I guess you could say.
Where did you guys go on your first date? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. Do we have to give that out here?
What are they going to stalk you 7 years in the past?
We went to AKA Bar.
Okay.
Yeah, on Walnut and 18th.
Yeah,
right?
A little Rittenhouse action.
But we have
to give that out. Like, what is that?
Yeah, it was probably more akin to Nick's opening press conference than
the line you were going to give him. Yeah.
But we're married now and Nick's in the Super Bowl.
Way
now.
To go, buddy.
So it worked out great for both of us.
There you go.
For Nick and for me. Yeah.
We did the pod yesterday afternoon before media night. So, we can talk about media night. We can talk about talking to the players today, sort of setting the scene. Anything big jump out to you? Anything you learned from either of those two events?
So I spent most of media night with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, like I said, I was going to.
How nice
to
for you.
Sorry about that, Kent. We have a great producer, Kent.
And here. Kent is rocking the BWF hoodie. I mean, the guy's a stud.
Yeah, Kent's awesome. Kent's awesome. Kent is early pandemic Birds with Friends episodes was Kent. As I was saying,
I mean, famously, the Tony Pauline episode, I think, is really the highlight of the Kent era of Birds with Friends. But yeah,
it was interesting hearing Jeffrey Lurie's perspective. There were a lot of Andy Reid questions, as you can imagine. What I'm real curious about with Jeffrey Lurie, and I'm gonna have a story later in the week on this, is the coach hiring process, because both these coaches in this game were hired by – is everything okay audio-wise? Okay, thank you. Was hired by Jeffrey Lurie. Both these coaches were hired by Jeffrey Lurie, I should say. And they were hired by Jeffrey Lurie when no one else was interested in them. So there had to be something that Jeffrey identified. And one thing that I've spoken to Jeffrey about in the past is that the coach hiring process, when you think about – if you're hiring an executive of a company, of a major company, which essentially a coach is, right? And you usually don't do it in 2 to 3 weeks, but there's such a time, there's such, it's a confined period when you're hiring a head coach. So how do you know? What are the critical factors you were looking for? And interestingly, it was the only thing Jeffrey Lurie wouldn't answer. Mm. The only thing, because he doesn't want to give that away. He said there are like 7 or 8 things that they look for, and he doesn't want to give that away. But he's hired 5 coaches now. All have had, all have been in the playoffs within the first 2 years. And I'm curious whether I'm curious your opinion as we talk about this, whether it's a chicken or an egg thing, right? Is it the head coach who has success, or is there an organizational structure that the Eagles have? Where if they hire Ben McAdoo instead of Doug Peterson, or they hire Josh McDaniel instead of Nick Sirianni, are they still a success? Are they still having success because of some of these institutional factors?
I think yes. I think probably to varying degrees, and maybe things don't last as long. But I think from an organizational standpoint, it's not dissimilar from the things that Jeff was just talking about, you know, how much money Jeffrey is willing to spend on things on the margins that other teams aren't willing to spend on, and the things that he values from like an analytics standpoint. Yeah. I think those things do matter, and I think like if you took Nick Sirianni and put him in Arizona with the same roster, I don't think that he would have quite as much success. I think there are organizational advantages that Jeffrey Lurie provides.
And then there's a story I'm working on with Howie Roseman about like the
you got nothing but big hitters.
The return of Howie here.
You got Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, and banana pudding.
There's more stories than that too coming out.
How much time do you have, dude?
I wish I had more. Honestly, that's the problem right now. Is that there's not enough time. And I enjoy spending time with you, and enjoy spending time with Shield. And so, in speaking to Howie, you know, it's interesting that 5 years ago, Howie was getting, I was speaking to Howie at media night 5 years ago in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was in the Minnesota Wild Arena, if you recall. And Howie was answering these same types of questions about literally the way one was phrased about vindication. You know, do you feel vindicated? And it's interesting to hear that, because oftentimes when someone's vindicated, they don't become revindicated, right? So there's been this like, this climb, this fall, and I think what's worth pointing out is there are, if you spend enough time studying Howie and listening to Howie and talking to people about Howie, there are a few expressions that he uses often. And one thing that he says is he learned, and he said this in 2016 when he came back into power, is that he had to learn that your career trajectory, like your success, if you will, is not a straight line. There are going to be ups and downs to it. And then the other thing he's said, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that when you think you've made it, you get kicked in the rear end, right? I think both of these are worthwhile concepts to explore when looking at the trajectory of Howie Roseman's career, and in particular his recent career.
All right. Well, we look forward to that story. We look forward to the Jeffrey Lurie story.
How was your media night?
You know, I'm trying to toss a break because we have to get in a second break before the end of our recording window here, which is at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
That's when the Mike Sando show begins. So if you don't mind, I'll finish that. We'll do that tease, and then we can talk about what else you want to talk about after.
You got it, man.
All right, second break.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. Back on Birds with Friends. Close this bad boy on sec. How was my media night? My media night was fine. The one person I wanted to talk to could not be found, but that's okay. Actually, no, that's not true. There were two people I wanted to talk to. One of them wouldn't talk. The other one could not be found, but we'll make do. Talked to some assistant coaches for some off-season story ideas. I don't know. You already know this.
Huge day for you today.
How so?
A1. Yeah, you're the hopes of the company's editorial direction today are on Bo Wolf's shoulders. You are the centerpiece of the Athletic's website.
Well, that's not quite true because they didn't tag me in the tweet from the Athletic. So okay. I am not the centerpiece. The story, right. to some degree, right. is what you're talking about. But yes. I didn't get the tag.
The story's not about you. It's always about, but it's your story. Yeah.
Right, but. But, but for what you're saying, it's not factually
It's a great piece. Check it out. I think it really does a good job getting inside Nick Sirianni's what makes him successful.
And you were very helpful because, there are when you're diving back on Nick Sirianni and you're thinking to yourself, when did he talk about this? Is there something I could find? And you call Zach Berman. You call him over. You say, where's this? And you say, oh, well, on June – he said something about this.
Yeah. I'm decent at that. I have a good memory. I do have one writing style question. Am I allowed to ask you, or are we real tight on time?
No, you
incorporate the readers in your writing style. You use a lot of us and you.
Sometimes.
What's the reason behind that, if I may ask?
I mean, it's not like a conscious thing. It's like that's the way to tell that story, I felt.
Okay.
Like we all watched the Nick Sirianni press conference and had that reaction, right? I don't know. Do I do that often?
You do it more than I do. That's why I'm curious. Okay. I want to learn from you here. Yeah.
I don't it's not a conscious thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, why do you walk the way that you do? I don't know.
I wish I could walk differently. You said last night I was strutting. I was just I was simply
You did. Last night you walked into media night and you were strutting as if like this is the only place on earth that you wanted to be and that deserved you in this moment.
Well,
like,
it was the only place at that moment that I wanted to be. I mean, you'd be where your feet are, right? And that's where my feet were last night. But
how's the week going for you, just generally speaking? How's your hotel room? Any complaints? Anybody that you want to have a media feud with? What do we got?
No, it's been great here. I wish I could sleep a little more. I need to learn from you how to sleep better.
You'll learn from Devontae Smith.
Yeah. You want to tell that story?
No, I'll tell it. That'll be in this. That'll be later this week, hopefully.
All right, good sell. I'm not. I'm not sleeping enough, but it's been great. It's so different covering a Super Bowl that the team you cover is in,
sure,
compared to when you're just there, right?
It feels like the people, the out of town people. I mean, it's nice that they're here. Yeah. They've got work to do, but like
it's like covering a bowl
game.
Do
they really have work to do?
Like, yeah, I remember the very low stakes. The first bowl I ever covered was the Orange Bowl, and I'm going down there with like 30 story ideas, and I want to follow Brian Kelly around for a day, and I'm doing Tyrod Taylor, and I got Virginia.
Spend time with his fiend.
It was Virginia Tech versus Cincinnati, and I realized everyone's down there for a vacation in Miami, right? Yeah. Right? They're like, yeah, press conferences are from 10 to 11, and then you're free the rest of the day. I'm like, free? What?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, give me something. I think I even pitched covering like Isaiah Thomas was the coach at Florida International. Can I go over there and do like a – yeah. So anyways.
My shower – tell me if you have this issue.
Only important stuff.
It doesn't close all the way, and so the bathroom just gets soaking wet when you're done with the shower. Does that not happen in yours?
No, but what happens is when you open the door to the shower, the floor gets wet then, but then once I'm in it, it's good.
Yours is like sealed.
Yeah, it's I guess
you have a better door than me. Better shower door.
I haven't seen your shower, so I
is
don't
it
know.
A circular one that sort of comes around?
Semicircle, yeah.
And and you don't get a wet shower. You don't get a wet floor.
Oh, but they give you a towel to put on the floor.
Well, yeah, I put a towel on the floor too, but it's like
I haven't
a disaster in there.
I haven't had that problem. Do you have a view?
I have a window. I don't. Yeah. It's not a good view. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I also have. I got to get this sorted out. I have. They've got the three, bottles on the wall of the shower, and it's supposed to be shampoo, conditioner, and body wash. And I have shampoo, conditioner, and shampoo.
Gotcha.
So I've been washing my body with shampoo.
Gotcha. I packed my own for this trip, actually.
Which, shampoo or body wash?
Both. Yeah. At CVS, I got the little mini little mini ones for the trip.
What do you go with?
For this one, it was the Harry's one. That was at CVS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Harry. Nice. Who's your favorite Harry?
Harry, I guess. That's one that came to mind.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. We should close up quickly, but we haven't really, like you and I, talked about how we're feeling about the game quite yet.
Well, I thought that's the big
Just
Thursday
your
pun.
General vibe yeah. at the moment. You track the progress yeah. as the week goes on. How are you sort of feeling right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you how I'm feeling. Is that I think the Eagles are the better team. I think the Eagles are the better, like Jeff said, the Eagles are better on both sides of the ball. They're better on the line of scrimmage, I feel like. But Kansas City has the better quarterback. And that's no slight to Jalen Hurts. That's Patrick Mahomes is that good, and the Eagles haven't seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. There really isn't a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, to bring back the conversation we had with ESP yesterday. So that's the concern. I think there's a reason why the Eagles are favored here. I like the Eagles winning this game. I'd like the Eagles winning this game, but I'd be worried about Mahomes.
Okay. This is like a silly line to draw, but I sort of feel like either the Eagles are going to win this game handily and like prove their superiority on a sort of a dominant basis, or Patrick Mahomes is going to win a very close game and like he'll get the ball last. Down 4 or 6 points.
You got to pick a side here.
Not on Tuesday.
You just asked me.
You didn't answer the question either. Okay. You said that you feel they're the better team, but you got to be worried about Patrick Mahomes. What kind of definitive take was that?
I said I like the Eagles to win, but I'm worried about Mahomes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, we have until Friday to make our picks.
I actually got okay.
That's like we had an assignment from the Athletic, a league wide thing. We had to go with our award picks and then our picks for the game. And it's too early. I didn't answer the award.
Yeah.
I did the awards, but I didn't answer the
game
pick.
You had to. It was required.
I didn't do it. Okay. I don't want to go on the record yet. I don't have a pick yet.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, fair enough. I got a message at him. I should do that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. Thank you to Kent for producing on-site, Marissa for doing the work remotely. We'll be back tomorrow from Radio Crow. I think we have a good idea of what we're going to do for tomorrow's podcast, so that should be exciting. Zach, again, in charge of the booking, got us Jeff McClain today. He's going to get us Kerry Lake tomorrow, so that should be pretty good. And Ooh. Then we'll we'll move on forward as we get to
make sure you check out Bo's story on the Athletic, and then also check out the piece on the banana pudding phenomenon inside the
You have been waiting 3 years to write that story.
I have.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And you killed it.
Thank you. I was proud of that one.
And you know what I would say about that story, how good it was?
What's that?
The proof is in the pudding.
Ooh.
All right.
Good kicker.
For Zach, Marissa, Kent, Jeff, and Elijah, we thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later. And as always, we love you.
The NFL is unmatched. Elite athleticism, weekly drama, millions watching every game day, billions of dollars in revenue. But among all that attention, money, and success, the league has a critical flaw.
In my experience, the NFL does have a race problem, but more than that, the owners have a race problem.
The people who make the hiring decisions, I don't think that they are going to look at two candidates and think the black candidate is clearly superior.
What you don't realize is that as you're going through all of that, the stress it puts on, it's like somebody beating you down every day.
The thing is, it has to be player led. We call it the NFL, but the 32 owners, like, we can't sit here and say, like, this is important to all 32 of those guys.
Football teams hate it. You know, issues like the national anthem, kneeling for the national anthem, issues like players speaking out at protest.
Watching Roger Goodell, like, get on TV and, you know, try to sound like he with it. We know it. There's a definite limit on this allyship, right?
I wasn't a big fan of the NFL because of what I had to go through and the way it was. I looked up on it, and I just felt like I was fed up with the NFL.
I'm Tashawn Reed, the host of a new podcast series from The Athletic called Between the Lines. The series details how America's biggest game has grappled with America's biggest issue. From the players who weigh the risks of being socially active in the wake of Colin Kaepernick, to coaches and executives vying for equal opportunities, to a league and owners who have failed to support and promote diversity. The series includes exclusive interviews from LaDainian Tomlinson, Doug Williams, Jason Wright, and several more players, coaches, and front office executives across the game. Look for Between the Lines, starting on February 14th, on the Athletic Football Show every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.